grab a seat to the bar and join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tansen, Jess, and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Welcome to McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 18.7, Masterpiece Theater, where we are covering the novel White Knight. My name is Tansen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Vertiginous. A formal adjective used to describe something that causes, or is likely to cause, a feeling of dizziness, especially because of great height.
Oh, so is it just vertigo?
Basically.
Okay.
The adjective. Vertiginous.
Vertiginous.
Thank you so much to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us keep doing what we're doing. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 14. Harry fires up Little Chicago and tracks Grey Cloak to get more information. Harry and Mouse get back to the apartment, and Harry heads to the lab.
The lab.
So new additions to the lab are a study area for Molly and a collection of vampire fangs that aren't dark at all.
Right? That's kind of macabre. Harry, how are you feeling about this war going on now and your draftism?
Right? That's like a step in the same direction as scalps.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely right. It's just, it's a little cool. And it's kind of funny because he's like, oh, like a bunch of us. And he's like, oh, mostly me and Ramirez. I'm like, I get it. I totally get it. The Reds aren't nice and friendly. They did that whole, like, ruined your girlfriend thing, you know, all of that. And I get it. And now I've just been, like, you know, for years now just
I think what
causing
was
havoc.
For me, reading that, it was just such a throwaway statement, too. It was just like, oh, yeah, and then some vampire things that I just...
Yeah.
We all have our war trophies.
Yeah. Yeah. We've taken to collecting these. It's like, damn. Like, yeah, just again, right? Like, we've seen Dresden do horrible, violent, necessary things. Right? But again, he's not really cold. It's not like deep premeditated. It's not like, and I mean, they are the monsters. They are still the monsters. It's not, but again,
at some point they were humans.
He makes a very distinct difference calling them it once they become. And exactly. And like you say, just this
trophies
first time, right, book 9, this is the first time he's ever taken trophies of any kind, of anything. He hasn't even really cleaned up a lot of magical stuff from, you know what I mean? Like Kraus's Book of Shadows and stuff like that. I know he had to get his hands on it in order to defeat him in that one, but I don't think it ever really says what he does with it. I don't know if he's just kind of hanging around somewhere, if he destroys it. You know what I mean? But, like, up until then, right, we haven't
seen... There's actually several cemented
right, he's got all these little bunkers. But that's the thing, right? It's like, you know, didn't really take anything from Victor Sells or anything. We don't have any... You know, he doesn't still
he
have
took
the...
friends from...
He took friends. Got his own little werewolf
little
pack.
For the eye.
Didn't need to keep
that too.
Didn't need to keep his little wolf pelt belt and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, so yeah, it's an interesting sort of little look that a lot has. And again, he keeps referencing now in this book the Camp Kaboom and stuff like that, right? And so we know things have just taken an extra dark twist. Which again, it makes sense. I mean, like they talk about any of the other wars, I just recently went and rewatched like a whole bunch of Quantum Leap and stuff like that. And of course, a big part was
original or reboot?
The original.
Okay.
The original. I don't think I have. I don't have Paramount or something to watch that because I was like, oh, I never did.
You know, I have all this stuff, right?
Do you have the reboot?
Well, I could re-download the reboot. I think I got rid of it, but
yeah. Anyways, point being is, but yes, the original. Thank you, Pluto TV. Free crap. But in that, Sam originally lost his brother in the Vietnam War and stuff like that. And so there's like two or three episodes where he's jumping in and out of all of that kind of stuff. And it gets referenced quite a bit. And all because, of course, that's the time period of Sam's life, right? It was between the 50s and the 90s. So a lot happens in like the 50s, 60s, 70s. But it's just like, again, right? And everybody's trying to like how limited a time period some of those things are or aren't and how deeply affected. Right. So again, world wars and the Korean War and all of these, whether they lasted 6 months, 10 years, you know, whatever. Right. It doesn't take long to start affecting people. And here again, Harry, like as the scope of a lot of these things go, this has been going on a good long while. This is at least 6-ish years.
This is 2007. The war started more or less 2003.
Is it only 4-ish years between then and now? Have we really been losing that much time? Wow. But even still, regardless, okay, whether that, I don't know, better or worse, it's taken Harry like 3-4 years.
Right.
And he's like, fuck these guys. And again, right, just this slight turn, just this little bit.
It's subtle,
darker,
but it's
whatever,
like if you like really reading it, it's kind of just like, whoa, really?
Yeah.
At least for me, I don't know.
Yeah,
like maybe this is not.
Well, before, again, it's just you do what you got to do, right? So yeah, when you're standing there face to face and you got to take out an enemy, that's what you got to do. But like you say, the then collecting.
Where's the line of morality end or start?
Yeah.
Well, also, this is also Harry's first drawn out thing. Most of his bad guys have been
one and done.
Exactly, you know?
Yeah. Well, and even that, I mean, again, as the Reds keep escalating.
And they don't play, the Reds don't play by any sort of
any
rules
sort
of engagement,
right?
Whatsoever.
I mean, again,
they break every rule they can.
All the shit that went down in proving guilty, right, with the mass casualties of the Reds doing anything and everything to get at them, you know, they're like, yeah, I mean, I can't blame them. And I mean, again, it's I would say, I don't know, kind of fairly mild in a lot of the things that he could be doing. I mean, you know, just collecting some teeth and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just, again, just something we haven't seen. And again, like you say, he's just so casually kind of like, you know, like, yeah, we do this now. Fuck those guys. Like, it's crazy.
So I'm just going to get this complaint out of the way. Harry
Bob.
Rose's Bob, who is like the creepiest creepster ever in this moment. I'm like, she's still underage, isn't she? Like at this point, like
she's like on the cusp. She was
really
17
like,
last novel, so she could have turned 18 by now.
But still, it's just like,
yeah,
stop.
Yeah.
Why is this a necessary? Like, yes, we know he's a creeper. He's in a romance, but this is like a little bit too far for me. Ugh.
Yeah, cookie, biscuit, pop tart, sweet tart, apple tart, any other kind of apprentice. Now that's
any other kind of pastry.
Pastry, she's my apprentice. That's all fine and good. I like that Harry shuts it down, and then immediately, like a page later, Bob is gross again. And Harry's like, and I'm like, ew, fucker, stupid guy.
Yeah, well, and even that, even just the way, not only is he just lusting after her kind of thing, which is typical, but then he's like, it's going to be too late. And Harry's like, too late for what? And he's like, she's going to start drooping. Oh, my
exactly. God. Exactly. And then Harry says, I think you'll survive the trauma. He doesn't shut it down again. I'm like, you
yeah,
fucker.
Well, yeah, I like, guess. Yeah.
Just Bob is stupid.
100% objectification of somebody that may or may not be a minor.
That, yeah. Especially in light of everything
else. Poor Molly.
Going on these-
That's the only thing. I agree that Bob is too dangerous for Molly to have a handle of.
Yes.
I absolutely agree. It's not fair that she doesn't know there's just a voyeur there all the time.
That too.
Yeah, well, the problem with this...
Molly, wear this robe downstairs because it's cold. And also...
because it adds 6 layers.
Molly strikes me as somebody that likes to take shortcuts, and Bob would... Very much.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Bob. Absolutely.
It would influence each other in bad ways.
Exactly. Well, yeah, when Harry's like, she still has a lot to learn, and Bob's like, I could help her. And Harry's like, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I'm like right there with him. I'm like, that is the whole...
Zero discipline.
But yeah, exactly. It's like, no, she's already got, like you say, having gotten into the trouble she is, it's because she already has a decent innate talent there. Right? You just suddenly give her
access. That's what she did without knowing anything.
That's what she did without knowing anything. Exactly. You start, yeah, no, exactly.
Well,
Molly's
got to
take the long, hard slog here.
Whether or not that sort of touch on dark magic has affected her or not. So, like, if it's just easier just to say a little bit more yes to something that she shouldn't.
Well, and yeah, and that's just it, right? She is still in a very vulnerable kind of place that way, whether deliberate or not. Right, whether she knows or sees that's what she's doing that way. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's way slippery, so she's definitely got to learn the foundations and the hard way. And the time it takes to slow it down to appreciate that so that as she starts Yeah, right?
The patience and discipline.
The patience and discipline is.
It's my Padawan.
Yeah.
Wax on, wax off.
And then just the tiniest little bit more temple dog information, barely nothing.
And it's interesting that his bark does reach or can reach the Never Never and that he can affect those creatures is good information to know.
Yeah, and more of the confirmation that he is a djinn.
That he is part foo dog and not just something, that he is an actual legitimate
supernatural
entity kind of a thing. Yeah. I mean, poor Mouse, so like you say, they come back and Mouse immediately like chows down and passes out. Like, he can do this shit, but it's kind of interesting. It's kind of cool because, like, how often do we see that with Harry, right? Especially any kind of big working. He's like, it takes it out of you. It uses your own energy, your own, right? And
it's
Mouse saying.
Consistent storytelling. It's nice.
Really, all Mouse did was bark. He didn't chase after anybody. He didn't have to fight
off. Bark with a capital B.
But you know what I mean? But then he just stood there with the girls while, right, he wasn't doing any more running around. He wasn't attacking. He wasn't fighting. He wasn't defending.
Well, you don't know that. Harry wasn't there.
Well, that's true. But the girls didn't report anything when he got back to them. So presumably.
We have to trust fucking Anna and Elaine.
Hey, Anna is trustworthy, okay?
Is she?
I don't know so far. She's the one in trouble. She would be like, dude, people came after us again. Elaine, I don't know. That's your bias. Thing, but anyways, regardless, I just thought it's kind of cute that he, yeah.
Later, I have a theory for you.
Oh.
A theory. Yep. Could be bunnies.
Oh. This crappy purple nightmare.
Totally not the lines, but yes.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
That helped, actually.
It could be demons. Mm-hmm. Some dancing demons. No, something isn't right there.
Trapped inside some wacky children's nightmare.
Yes. Wacky Broadway nightmare.
So we get this little part here where Harry reflects that the best way to learn is to teach. Preach. But it also does mean that Harry is leveling up.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And is this now, because I've read so many different things and I've gone over this 100 times, is this where he uses Murphy example where he thought it was all just like flaky zen?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because he starts to meditate to get ready to prepare.
Yes.
It takes him like 10 minutes as opposed to the last book, last time he tries to use it, which was like half an hour, and he still fucked it up anyway.
Yes. Yeah. And I appreciate that. As you say, you know, there is a certain amount to that when you all start trying to teach somebody else something, you know, of like you say, how to get back to the basics and okay, how do I explain this? You know, like I already know why these two things connect. How do I break it down again for like, yeah, how do, what, huh? You know, and all the kind of stuff. And it is, and it's I like it because I'm like, obviously it would be the same sort of thing. You know, Murphy being like, oh, once you learn everything, the only way to learn more is to teach. And you know what I mean? Being like, uh-huh, sure. And it does sound kind of wacky. It's kind of flaky. Sounds like, you know, which again, I also just find the, I don't know, would this be irony of Harry as a wizard and a new agey and a wicked thing, like this flaky zen thing, you know? Like, now everybody looks at Harry and be like, ooh, your crystals and your, you know what I mean? Harry's like us flaky new age zen crap, you know?
Wait, are you watching the TV show where all he uses is a fucking crystal and a string?
Yeah.
Called the pendulum, okay, jeez.
It was less weird than walking around with a hockey stick.
Jesus.
But yeah,
it's like basically what Elaine does. But yes, it's the same way as when you're learning and you think back to, okay, how was I taught and how would I like to have been taught? This should have been explained better because I was confused about it. Now this time I'm going to explain it better. And
well, you have to re-examine if somebody doesn't understand what you're trying to say the first time. You have to re-say it in a different way.
Yeah, I can't do that. I take them by the shoulders and shake them. I'm like, what doesn't make sense? I fucking told you already. Figure it out.
All of it. Oh, you're so stupid.
My one boss is always like, people learn it different ways. So tell me, are you a visual learner? Do you need to write it down? Do you need, I'm just like, no, just whatever the way I told you. Do it now. I don't have time for all these different options.
There may be different kinds of learners. I am a solo kind of teacher. Okay. One way of,
I'm incapable of adapting to you. So yes. Figure it out. Google it.
So after he's done meditating, he collects his focus. Harry launches Little Chicago. And my God, I just love the description and how this works. Like, it was great the first time and it's great this time again, where he's describing how he's hovering above it, but he's inside it and he can also see these phantom images.
Yeah, like his senses his go down stuff. And then he's just big Godzilla Harry just standing over the table.
I would love to see that recreated on the big screen or even the small screen, like properly.
Give us the animated series where we can just do it right. You don't have to make anything work in the animation. I mean, like, you don't have to, like, have like, actual props.
We've already got graphic novels, and now we need to step up.
Well, unfortunately for you, Jim Butcher has said that another show is in the talks right now, but it is another live action.
Which wish
could be done well still.
If
CGI and graphic effects being what they are, could be done well.
And given that much more of the popularity of the books now, they might be willing to put more...
Actually hire writers that have read the series?
Well, I get, like, certain things, like, just to tie a time out here and talk about this for a second, since obviously Tanzan rewatched recently, and Tanzan has some issues.
Quick interjection,
it was a rewatch. It was my first watch. I finally got through that monstrosity.
I have to give kudos to a couple of our people
in Discord that were like, okay, think of this, where Jim Butcher has actually said, this is an alternate universe.
Yes.
And that helped me to enjoy it as its own creation.
But if
you're not looking at that, this is like, really? He has fucking printed labels for in his lab. Like, fuck off.
So my
election?
Inauguration into... Anyways, the first Buffy site I was on, and then we branched off and did a separate run after that. And one of the founders on there, anyways, one of the girls, she was always like that. That was one of her biggest things. She's like, I kind of have to look at them all as exactly like a separate... Because again, whether it's... any of these things, right, if there's just not quite the justice done to it. So she's like, I always look at it all as like a completely separate entity kind of a thing and try not to. And I'm like, yeah, it really does make a difference for me. I don't see the difference between giving him a big stick to rock around with and giving him a hockey stick. A stick is not hard to get. I've had a dozen big walking stick staff things that I just pick up a branch when I'm out with the dogs. And you know what? Boom. Things like the beetle versus the jeep. I'm like, okay. Again, there's a lot of beetles. I don't think it would be that hard, but I'm like, conceivably, I could say, okay, for some
Jeep's
reason,
old enough, yeah.
For some reason, the studio couldn't get a hold of it. It was
finger
too expensive.
Gun magic,
it was
though.
Too, or, you know, something like,
pow, pow.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? But yes.
I'm sure I even got that far. I've seen the first episode a lot of times. I've probably seen the first five times each.
All right, so next time, just go to the forest. Don't start at the beginning again. Just each take in one. Because I know Tanzan's made the attempt a couple times, because I know you've commented about...
I know halfway.
Because you comment about Bianca every time, because you liked her in Warehouse 13 and stuff.
Yes.
So I know you've restarted like a couple of times, because every time you're like, I really like
Ooh,
that actress
about
though.
Warehouse 13 again. She must be trying Dresden.
I forget every time.
Which is how I know you've gone back in, right? Which is why I thought
you... Tanzan's been stuck in a time loop, but hers is like 5 years long.
Her Groundhog Day is just episode one of the Dresden Files.
I'm not a goldfish, I swear. I have a quiz to prove it.
It's just, I get with, I partially, much like Jessica in this book, if you block it out intentionally, and or yes, when you do wait a couple of years in between each time you attempt it, it's not hard to imagine that one episode you didn't like didn't stick, per se.
This is next level for all of us, though, honestly, like, to be fair, consuming the Dresden Files TV show, and Peace Talks, and Battleground, and The Law, and 12 Months, and White Knight all at once.
Pleasure reading?
We're not... a spoiler podcast, but we are lost and confused right now. We don't know anything right now.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm not paying attention to it. Yeah. I am the gatekeeper now.
Speaking of Quantum Leap, I now understand how Sam and his Swiss cheese memory felt constantly bouncing back and forth between the timeline. Elvis isn't written this yet.
I would give it up so fast. I'd be like, World War II, man. And they'd be like, huh? And I'd be like, wait, what is it now? And they'd be like, well, they're like, just the Great War. And I'd be like, oh, right, yeah, just the Great War. The
Don't worry, guys. There's no, war. Yeah.
You just use the same tactic every time. Have a seizure the moment you get there and blame it on that.
One of my favorite improv comedy group things, yeah, they did the same thing. It was like a comrade trying to figure out what time zone, what the air time traveler trying to figure out what year it is. And
yeah.
He walks into a bar and they call him comrade. And he's like, okay, can I order a? And they're like, no, you cannot. Or he's like, oh, okay, I'm going to go to a union meeting. And they're like, good sir, how dare you? And he's like, I'm going to go meet my representative. And they're like, jolly good sir. He's like, it's just so funny trying to figure out exactly where he's. He's like, who are you guys? What country am I in? What year is it?
Yeah, no kidding.
It's just the locals at the pub are aggressive no matter what you say.
Yeah, that too. It's like depending
on
which
group. How can I foam at the mouth on command?
No.
So all that being said, Harry... doing Little Chicago is very cool and fun. We really enjoy it.
Although, real quick to finish that up, I was going to say, depending on how far you can time travel, even that wouldn't necessarily, because depending if you jump way back and you suddenly drop another seizure, they're like drawing holes in your skull. Oh no, the devil's gone. So even that might not be foolproof.
Are you left-handed, Tanzan? Are you left-handed?
I'm not.
Okay. I was going to say, I was like, as soon as you use your left hand with red hair.
No.
Right. My grandmother was left-handed and the nuns tied her hand behind her back until she learned with her right, so she's
that's what it was. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It wasn't your hand the nuns were tying back.
I'm a little bit surprised that I'm not left-handed.
I don't know. You have that vibe of a left-handed person.
Well, in all fairness, you can't read my right hand.
I was just going to say, it does explain why.
And Grandma beat it out of her. She doesn't remember.
Her whole body is like, I should be left-handed, but... evil's afoot because it doesn't follow the metric system.
I hope that you guys are able to follow this better than me because I really meant to sit down and take this step-by-step about who's who. And I just got caught up in 12 months instead. I'm so confused by... The passenger and Gray Cloak. I kept switching back and forth on who was who each time.
I did too.
Could not follow.
But I did find the next chapter after, or not the, sorry, maybe not 15, but the chapter 16, when he talks about it later.
It does do a little
Murphy,
bit better. Yeah.
It reviews it enough to go, oh, because I couldn't remember any of it. And I wrote my notes while I was reading it for my quote first time. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. So to make this a little bit easier, guys, there will be minor spoilers, but only for the next like 5 chapters. But instead of waiting for those 5 chapters to happen, we're going to say and use their names now because...
But we don't have to. It's just Gray Cloak and Passenger.
Yeah, Gray Cloak and Passenger.
Gray Cloak is the new guy.
Good enough. I'm confused.
And Passenger is the one we know.
Gray Cloak is the one that was at the hotel or the apartments.
Yeah. I'll kind of summary it to how I thought I remembered it.
You be Gray Cloak and you be Passenger. Just do the scene for me.
Okay. I'm driving. Harry, you can't see me. Ha ha ha. But I don't know you're there, but I kind of suspect something's not right. And I'm going to stop and somebody's going to get in. Welcome.
Hi, fellow conspirator.
Wait,
I
say
told
the name.
He was trying to kill. Hello, Gray Cloak.
And okay, now, neither of you are going to make the production at this rate.
I didn't know I was going to have to do lines beforehand.
I'm going
to
ridicule you because you've already dealt with Harry and managed to survive somehow, and you think that he's nothing but brute, and I'm convinced.
But you haven't dealt with
him. No, I have not dealt with him.
No.
I haven't dealt with him, but Passenger has. Passenger lived to tell the tale, and I'm just like, what the fuck? You think that he's just a brute because like, he's got other talents. He's
not that smart. And yeah, I was like, dude, he's totally afraid of fire. I don't know why that didn't work. You should see his hand, man.
No.
And I'm going to drop a hint.
That's why I'm confused. You're supposed to complain. I thought you said he was afraid of fire. And you say he is afraid of fire. You're mad because he wasn't afraid of fire. You don't even know your role.
I don't because I didn't study my lines beforehand.
But this is why I'm confused too. I'm trying to read this and I'm just like, Gray Cloak and Passenger are the same person to me. I don't know what to imagine.
All right. Okay. Hang on one second here. Let me read this scene.
I'm confused.
And it was confusing though. Like, that's probably why I didn't write down some nuances of it because, well...
I don't know that that's happening.
We shall put on a play for you, Jess.
Ha ha!
Yeah, no, it is. Gray Cloak says you told me he was afraid of fire, and Passenger says he is. That's correct.
Yeah, but you said it like you knew the fire information.
Free Flow Rambling now presents a dramatic reading of Chapter 14. Please enjoy.
Are you insane? Meeting here?
What's wrong with here?
It's a bloody upper-class WASP neighborhood. There's private security here, police. If anyone raises any kind of alarm, it's going to attract a great deal of attention in short order.
Which is why we are safe. It's late at night. All the little dears are sleeping the sleep of fat and happy. No one is awake to see us here.
That's why you got that character.
Well?
No.
No? No kind, no wizard. What do you mean, no?
Both. You told me he was afraid of fire.
He is. You should see his fucking hand. What?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
Something.
You're nervous about him. That's all. You missed him and you're nervous.
Not nervous. Understandably cautious. He has more resources and more versatility than you people realize. It's quite possible that he's keeping track of me in some way.
I doubt that. It would take a subtler worker of the art to manage that. He isn't one.
No? He managed to sense the fire before it could cut him off, to somehow waken the entire building from sound sleep at all the same time, and to track me after I departed.
Okay, this
you
is why
you came here with
confused.
Him behind you?
Didn't you change parts just now?
Nope. No, Gray Cloak asked. He managed to sense the fire.
Who's the vampire? Raise your hand. I'm so confused. You both can't be the vampire!
Yes, we can!
Well, okay, that's spoiler land for me.
That's Cowl. And that was spoiler land for me.
It's not Cowl. Cowl is not in the car.
He thinks that Cowl is the passenger.
He goes and talks to Cowl next.
Yeah. Cowl is not
sorry,
in the car.
Sorry. Yeah. No, you're right. Sorry. You're right.
Gray Cloak.
You confused me enough that I squished everything together.
Gray Cloak goes and talks to Cowl.
But Gray Cloak is suspected to be a White Court vampire.
And who's Gray Cloak right now? Raise your hand.
I am Gray Cloak. I'm reading Gray Cloak right now.
Okay. Who was at the hotel? Gray Cloak?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm the one that tried to light everything on fire.
You're a tall, dark, handsome man.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he doesn't know because he never sees his face.
There's been reports of a tall, dark, handsome man in a gray cloak running around.
No, there's been reports of gray cloaks and a tall, dark, handsome man. So Harry is a gray cloak and Thomas is a handsome man.
I'm so confused. I know I still... Also, are we going to be sued? Is this a reproduction? Audiobook?
All right. Check out our Patreon where we put up our
Where
we put up our version.
No! You switched sides on each other.
We did not. We're going to put up our version of Thomas's murder board. Only all it is a bunch of strings and sticky notes trying to determine who Gray Cloak and Passenger are.
I'm really confused.
I can see that. I don't know how to... I only teach in one way. What are you not getting?
I never learned how to read.
I can't fucking change this anymore for you. Why don't you get it? Okay. Let me try. Okay. So Gray Cloak...
Yes.
...is the one that set the fire.
Okay.
Tried to take out Anna and Harry all at once.
And which one of you was Gray Cloak?
Tamsin is Gray Cloak.
Okay. And Tamsin was the one driving the car as well?
Yes.
So that's the one he chased. Okay. So he sees Gray Cloak, but again, can't tell if he's handsome or
so
not.
It's Gray Cloak's car that we're in.
Yes. Because he's silhouetted.
Hence
because
passenger.
That was the whole point about why he can't identify who it is. Because he was silhouetted by all the emergency lights and shit like that. So he managed to...
I think the line... You came here.
This is
here
actually helping me to read this too, like this.
You came here when he's tracking you. Is like to me that reads like the passenger would say, like the person who approached the person with the car is like you came here with him tracking you, but it's not. It's the person who approached. Both of them approached
because Gray obviously Gray Cloak must have contacted
at a meeting
the passenger
spot. I get that.
To say,
I understand
let's
how
go
that works.
Here.
I'm just. It's. I don't know.
Yes, but that is why. But yes, he's the one that. So yeah. Passenger is concerned because passenger has shown up, and now passenger is like, wait a minute, he could still be following you?
You tricked me.
Like, yeah, whereas, yeah, the Gray Cloak went being like, I'm confident, I've shaken my tail, and the passenger, who was not the one in charge of doing that, is not confident because he doesn't know what the tail was and if he shook it properly, right?
But I'm still...
So he's like, you made me come meet you here, and I don't know what precautions you took.
Should we continue and see if you follow it again?
Maybe, because I'm still confused about why... So overall, it seems like one seems to not be overestimating Dresden, and one seems to be overestimating or underestimating Dresden.
So...
But they both still seem to take... opposite, like they both seem to switch sides on that too. Like I don't get why.
It's because one of them is playing the other as well, so he's putting up some front in a little bit.
I don't even know if that's exactly from what we know of the situation now. Like Gray Cloak obviously does not think as highly of passenger either. I don't know if he's. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's
Gray Cloak. Gray Cloak's gonna talk shit to
passenger. Yeah, he doesn't.
Gray Cloak's gonna leave passenger and talk shit to his boss.
Yes,
master.
Okay, Gray Cloak, who's Tamsin.
Yes,
is like it amazes me that such an idiot such as you survived crossing the wizard once.
Yeah. So this is a problem. This is why I am underestimating him a little bit because I did cross him and I got away. So I'm like, he's just a big brute who's Hulk smash.
Can I keep hearing it as a conversation and see if some of it sinks in better now that you can hear it in different voices?
Sure.
Because that's helping
me. Continue for another page. Go. Your line starts at, you came here with him behind you?
That's you. No, I lost him before he could do so. But that does not preclude the use of more subtle means to engage in pursuit.
He's a thug. Plain and simple. His talents make him good at destruction and little else. He's a beast to be prodded and directed.
It amazes me that an idiot such as you survived crossing the wizard once.
To be honest, I'm surprised the wizard lived the night. Doesn't matter either way. If we killed him, we could have claimed credit for his demise and it would have served our purpose. Now, we let him rampage over the Skavis and it does nothing but help.
Unless he happens to rampage over us as well.
At least one thing is accomplished. He's interested in stopping the culling.
Oh, yes. You've gotten his attention. The question, of course, is whether or not he will be as cooperative as you seem to believe.
With a gathering of female wizardlings at risk? Oh, yes. He won't be able to help himself. Now that he knows what the Skavis is up to, Dresden will be falling all over himself to protect them.
Pause. Again! Does your character know or not know Dresden?
He seems to, because he already knows that he's got a hero complex.
He seems to know that Harry has this sort of protective thing about women, but it's also Greycloak being like, you're totally underestimating and don't understand his character at all.
But
he doesn't know the level of magic, the finesse of magic.
Yeah, I was going to say, he does know enough about him to know that. He's just under, like you said, he knows what Harry's about. He's just underestimating.
Like, they both know different things about Harry. And that's confusing me. It's like...
So I will say, Passenger does not, like, intimately know. He doesn't know him as well as, like, Thomas knows him or anything like that.
It still seems like more information than...
So he has...
The regular baddie should know or would know or is aware of without seeing it in action. And
yeah, but I think we've seen enough over... Again, without trying to remember where we're at as the 7 books I've read ahead and not. I think we know that people have put together information on... Dresden and stuff like this, right? Like the White Court and stuff like that, right? Yeah, Thomas knows him intimately because they figured out they're brothers and they're going to share everything. The White Court knows broadly about Dresden and what he can do and what his playbook and stuff like that, right?
A file that's maybe not so well.
Yeah, so they don't know all. They can't predict everything.
And he's got his reputation because he does keep blowing shit up.
Now, that part I get. I just like, okay, you fast forward a little bit more in this conversation. And how does your own endeavor fall? And less than well, he isn't talking to me. Did you really expect him to? He is family, but that is no matter. I'll find them in time whether he cooperates or not. With context of who I learn to be this character later on. Like, is that too much spoiler for you, Tanzin? Like,
I haven't read to who it is. I already guessed that it's Madrigal because of the fear comment.
Right, but it's Madrigal, to me, confirmed in three or four chapters. It's the passenger, right? Yeah.
Oh, see, and I thought the driver was Madrigal.
Which is why when I asked you who's the vampire, you both raised your hand.
That's my fault.
No, but
that is totally my fault.
But they both could be reading as one Malvora, one Skavis, one Wraith. I don't know. I guess there is no Skavis here, but one Malvora and one Wraith. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably intentionally obtuse.
I mean, sure, Jim Butcher's purposely not using names or faces because he doesn't want us to know.
We got to figure out it eventually. But it is hard to read it.
As somebody who has finished this book and is coming back, I still don't know who to imagine. I'm like, I don't know who these people are. I'm so confused still. I've read this specific chapter probably 10 times in the last month alone, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening still.
You should have gotten your little
puppets.
Yeah. You should have, I don't know, you don't have a lot of other things. You've got 10 million like Harry Potter. You should have taken like a Harry and a Draco or something. Or
or had us acted out for it.
Apparently, yeah. And then, you know, there's even more random things being thrown in. The Circle wants a progress report. We don't know who the fuck the Circle is. We've never heard that before.
Yeah, there's a big giant info dump here to set things up so we can find out later the more details.
Yeah, and I get it's part of Harry's job to be an investigator and figure these things out, but still.
Yes, and it is.
And it's hard to read.
But there's not enough clues for me to be like, who the fuck are you right now?
And I will admit, I've had to, like, again, especially probably the first time, because there is quite a lot of dialogue here. You do go back and forth a lot where suddenly you're like, wait. I know I've had to sort of go over this scene before.
This reminds me of, like, TV shows where this is, like, the pilot, and then they set up.
Right, you get all
just this giant, like, mystery. Right. And you don't remember until way later, and then they do previously on episode one, where they discussed way too much shit for you that you don't remember.
I remember so many people saying that, like, in my book groups and things like that, they're like, I don't read fantasy because I don't like having to learn an entire world for the first, like, two-thirds of a book before the plot starts. And I'm like, fair enough. I like that. I like that world building. And especially, you know, most fantasy novels have to be multiple book series because of that reason. But
yeah.
At the same time, I also can sometimes understand that point of view.
Like, depending how it's laid.
I just want a story already. I don't care how your government functions.
I do love that, though, when you get, like, those big... Like, it makes sense at the time when you're watching them, because, of course, it's the first time you've seen them. when you go back to it. But it's just funny how when you stop and think about it, because it'll be like a group like this. We've been doing this together. We've known each other for like 20 years, and we've been doing this together for 5 years. And you'll walk in the door and you'll be like, oh, Jessica, my daughter, how lovely to see you. Okay. But you know what I mean? And it's like perfectly normal because you're like, oh, okay, that's who this person is. But then you stop and thinking about it and you'd be like, that is not how I would talk to that person who I see like every day. You know what I mean? It's like, I just find
hello, my brother. Hello, my sister.
Yeah. Hello, my third cousin, twice removed on my father's side after Ed ate his dad. You know? You're like... But yeah, I just find things like that. It's sort of funny when you go back and how often in books and movies and stuff like that, those like...
But we can all agree that this is... It's a hard chapter to read.
It's a little bit hard. Do you feel a little bit better if we can just say Greycloak is Greycloak and Passenger is the guy you're thinking? Does that help at all?
I don't know. I don't think I'll ever be able to read this chapter and know what the fuck who anyone is. Because I still feel like they trade sides back and forth throughout the conversation that, like...
It does feel
just
like
reading the words, is I'm just like, I don't know.
It does, but I think that is exactly because they are questioning...
And that's why I thought I was the vampire.
Yeah, like, I just...
Yeah. So... Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to...
Okay, so who does Harry follow when they break up?
Greycloak. So Greycloak, who we've never met before. Greycloak
is tried to burn him up.
Complete unknown. Yeah, just was going to go after Anna. Figured he would catch Anna and Harry in the same trap. It's unclear. I don't think they've mentioned knowing that Elaine exists yet. So I don't know if they know that
Elaine... You're talking about the passenger right now.
No. I said Tanzin. Tanzin went to go snuff Anna. Harry's there, too.
Mm-hmm. At the hotel?
Yeah.
All right, the passenger can't.
At the apartment building.
I'm the gray cloak. I'm lighting shit on fire.
Tanzin
I'm waiting outside. Harry sees me. I run away.
Yeah, went to Donna's apartment to snuff her. Figured everything we know about this guy. He's had issues with fire. I'ma just burn the building down.
The roof was on fire. And I did it.
Okay, so even more of my confusion is why the passengers involved to begin with anyways. They seem totally useless to
everything. Because they're part of, like, this circle. They're part of
they're not allowed to meet them yet.
Plan, whatever.
Basically, this is just to introduce that this is a conspiracy and not just some random serial killer.
Okay, fine. He's not connected to the circle yet. He's connected to the person he can't get a hold of yet.
Yeah, okay. Sure, that makes more sense to me.
This is good.
Because he's the third cousin to the for the real. We just haven't been introduced to Uncle Matt.
Literally, when you're at a wedding, you're like, why are you here? Who invited you?
You're like, let me just whip out my handy-dandy murder board, and I will lay it all out for you.
Ancestry just sends out wedding invitations now. If you share at least 4%.
At the last family reunion, everyone was so confused how everyone was related, we bought poster board and wrote it out for everybody.
Yeah, see? So, Ancestry, I can say, if you're just like 4%, but it's like you get like, tiered. So it's like,
how are we related?
You're related. You can come to this part. If you're closely related, you will actually feed you at the dinner, but otherwise you have to show up at the dance when it's really... Okay, so we're just kind of giving up on trying to figure it out. We're just kind of going to move over as a whole and keep going.
Yeah, I want to say I get it. I don't know that I do.
But the crucial takeaway from this chapter is there's something called the circle. There's multiple people that are involved in this. It's not one single serial killer that's actually doing it.
Which helps us out a little because we've got that one anomaly in our murder group.
Yeah, this is the TLDU. Too long, didn't understand.
Right.
Tried reading, read multiple times, still do not know.
Did read, don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we'll touch back on this later when we get more of the details. We can cover back what we've...
So I guess that's...
When we learn things,
which
I will eventually.
In the next chapter, do we really... So yeah, like I said, I guess Passenger is trying to make their bones. They're trying to earn their way into the circle. Yeah. So they're kind of an outlier in this little murder group, and they're trying to get into the big main murder group.
The main murder group.
And they have to, it's like a referral pyramid thing. You have to, like, bring a friend in with you.
If I recruit three murderers, and you recruit three murderers, eventually we're going to kill Harry Dresden.
Exactly. So that's what they're trying to do right now. Greycloak is the level above the passenger. The passenger is still trying to bring in the mystery dude, and people are just dying all over the place, but not all the right people. Most of them are dying. Some of them are not dying. in order. Thank you.
Okay.
Did you guys follow that? Audience listening to this? Have you just turned off the episode? Some massive nerd out there like Matt or like, I don't know, somebody is going to end up with like some like 3D printed.
This is going
like,
to be a brand new channel in the
diorama.
Explaining chapter 14 to Jess.
We posted notes in string. There's going to be like movable figures.
I'm not going to lie. I was having a lot of fun acting it out.
There's going to be like, there's going to be like a Hot Wheels, like loop-de-loop track to follow the car.
We're going
to
get another heavy dialogue chapter, okay? Claim your roles.
For a cold read, I am pretty impressed.
Yeah, good job, guys.
Yeah, I mean, not that I haven't listened to it 117,000 times, but...
Costumes are kind of shit, but...
The what? Costumes, yeah.
I win. Gray cloak.
Can it be a red cloak? I have a blanket right over there.
Nope.
Or
nope.
A black hoodie.
That's going to confuse me.
I'll just write. Get four chapters. She'll be like, who's the red cloak? We haven't seen
yellow
that
sticky
guy.
That says gray.
I'm pretty sure that was Mava, right? As Hamlet.
This concludes our episode 18.7, Masterpiece Theater. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanellis.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.